All right, you guys ready? Go ahead and find your seats. We're going to get started. I'm going to start out with a prayer again. Just focus us, and I believe God will speak to us through his word this morning. Okay, so let's pray together. So Father, just thanks so much again for this opportunity to connect, and thanks for everyone here. And just thanks for the opportunity to go to your word now. We pray that it would be you who speaks to us, and it'll be your words. And we just pray for your deep encouragement to our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so our 2017 theme and our series title is Experiencing the Kingdom Together, and the title this morning is The Real World. Can you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, 16 through 20? And it would be good if you had your Bibles to turn there so you could see this passage in context. And so Jesus is finishing up his classroom time with the disciples, and he's about to send them out into the real world. And he's sending them out in the real world so that they can experience the kingdom together, and that they can help other people experience the kingdom together. And so he speaks to them at this point in their call to ministry. And so we're going to see what he says to them in Matthew 10, 16 through 20. But first, I want to just start out with a little statistic. Right, and so I'll give it to you in question format. There was a national survey in America, and they asked high school graduates across the country how prepared they were for college and work, or as I'm calling it today, the real world. What percentage of them didn't feel prepared? Right, I have a couple of options up there. A, 10% didn't feel prepared, 25% didn't feel prepared, 50% didn't feel prepared, 90% didn't feel prepared. What do you guys think? How many of you guys think A, 10% high school graduates didn't feel prepared? 25%, some 50% didn't feel prepared, a bunch more, 90% didn't feel prepared. Okay, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't, it was, though, 50% didn't feel prepared. But that's a lot, too. I think we need to do a better job of preparing the next generation, right, to go into the real world. And so Jesus, at this point, was finishing up his time of teaching the disciples, etc., and I wonder how prepared they were to go face the real world. And so we're going to find out how prepared Jesus thought they were and then what Jesus said to them. Okay, Matthew chapter 10, 16 through 20. Let's read it out loud together. I do have it up on the screens in the NIV translation. Okay, so this is Jesus speaking, and he's speaking to them right before he sends them out to the real world. All right, so let's read it out loud together. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes, and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So at this point, the disciples were pretty comfortable, right? They had spent a lot of time, couple of years in the classroom, if you will let me put it that way, with Jesus. And Jesus taught them. Jesus modeled ministry for them. And Jesus, at this point, is about to send them out to go and experience the kingdom and help other people experience the kingdom. He was sending them out into the real world. So they were relatively comfortable. And we can relate to that, right? I guess you could say we're kind of in a classroom setting right now, and it's relatively comfortable and not harmful in any way. But we are also called to go out into the real world. In an hour or so, we're headed out into the real world to experience the kingdom and help other people experience the kingdom. And so Jesus speaks to them and tells them how prepared he thinks that they are at this point. And he says this to them in the first portion of verse 16. He said, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Not really the most pleasant imagery as Jesus is about to send them out, right? And so he tells them, and it elaborates in verses 17 through 19, what exactly he means by he's sending them out as sheep among wolves, or he tells them basically what the wolves are going to be, right? So he says first that they're going to hand it over to the local councils. Other translations say the courts. So they're going to have to go out into the real world and stand before judges and lawyers in the court system of the world that was hostile to the gospel message, and they would have to preach the gospel and stand up for Jesus, proclaiming him as the Messiah, etc. So they hand it over to the local councils. It also says they'd be flogged in the synagogues. They were going to go into the synagogues, people that did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and they were going to have to stand up for the gospel, preach that Jesus was the Messiah, etc., in a hostile environment. And even he said that they were going to face being flogged. And then he says that they were going to go before governors and kings as witnesses, again, that they would have to stand before them, people that ruled over districts and over land and over people, people that were hostile to the gospel message. Jesus said as he sent them out in the real world, they were going to have to stand before governors and kings and preach the gospel. You might wonder at this point, what does this have to do with us? Not many of us had to go before court systems to stand up for the gospel, or synagogues, or go before governors and kings. But I wanted to say what's really important in this passage is really capture the heart of what Jesus is saying. Because Jesus was not giving a comprehensive list here, right? This is a relatively short passage that fits on one screen on the PowerPoint. So Jesus is not giving a comprehensive list of every single scenario that we're going to face out there. But Jesus was trying to communicate to them that they were going to go out into the real world in just a bit. The classroom setting was going to be over, and they were going to go into the real world, and they were going to face some situations that they were going to be in over their heads. If you let me put it this way, he was asking for a raise of hands from them. He says, how many of you guys feel prepared for the real world? Maybe 50% of them, like our survey, raised their hand. And Jesus said, no, actually, everyone raise your hand. All of you guys are going to face situations where you'll be in over your heads. For some of us in this room, the application is that we will literally stand before courts. We'll literally, some of us, I believe in this room, will stand before governors and kings, presidents, mayors, governors, whatever it will be, and we will have to preach the gospel to them in this coming time of revival, in this society that we live in. I believe that there's a direct application for some of us in this room. Literally, what Jesus was saying here, that's going to be our call. And certainly, we need to hear more of what Jesus has to say in order to navigate those situations where, certainly, I think you would agree, would be in over our heads. But even for the rest of us here, we may say, well, we're not going to face those scenarios exactly. We're not going to be in those contexts. Again, to capture the heart of what Jesus is saying, because all of us in this room, if we are to continue to follow Jesus, we're going to go into the real world, and we are certainly going to face some situations where we're in over our heads. Whether it's before local councils or governors and kings or in synagogues, we are certainly, and maybe some of us are already facing these situations, that where we're in over our heads. And what does Jesus have to say to us in those situations where we're going to be in over our heads? How are we going to navigate? And so Jesus begins to speak into this in this passage. And let's see what he says. How are we going to navigate those situations where we're in over our heads? And he says this, second portion of verse 16. He says, therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. So he gives two illustrations. I'll take the second one first, innocent as doves. I think we could connect into that, right? Doves in the Bible symbolize the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus. It's pure, it's white, it's pleasant. We release doves at weddings. It's something that's, you know, great and beautiful and pure. It's the pureness of Jesus. It's the pureness of God that we are to be innocent, innocent of sin, innocent of evil. I think we understand that second portion. It makes sense. It's something that we could connect into. But think about that first imagery, that we're supposed to be shrewd as snakes. Would you agree that in the Bible, a snake is not a good imagery? Right from the first part of the Bible in Genesis, is not a good imagery. And Jesus is using this to describe us as we go into the real world and help people experience the kingdom. He says, here's the imagery that I want to give you. You're to be like a snake as you go into the world to do kingdom ministry. I think it's kind of surprising at the very least. I want to show you a video right now of a snake. And I understand there's some of you guys here that, like, you know, don't, would rather not see a video of snakes. I want to tell you, I hate snakes. In kindergarten, I touched a snake. That was the first and last time I ever touched a snake. I would plan never to touch a snake again. I hate snakes too. But it's my point. Jesus is using this imagery to say, hey, this is what you guys are. As you go out there, it's surprising. It's like, this is not a very pleasant imagery. Jesus, even you in Scripture didn't use this imagery as pleasant. But why are you now using this imagery to describe us to go out into the real world? All right, let's take a look at this video. This video went viral. 87 million views on this video. And it's a video of a snake getting into a fight with an alligator. Would you agree that an alligator has many, many, maybe all advantages over a snake if they were going to get into a fight? Take a look at this 2-minute video that went viral. 87 million hits. I think that this video captures well the point that Jesus is trying to communicate in this passage. All right, let's take a look.
Larger alligators with their powerful jaws have a distinct advantage over the pythons. The alligator holds onto the python with power exceeding 2,000 pounds per square inch. It is next to impossible for the python to escape this hold. Nevertheless, the alligator gives way to the python. After an exhausting battle that lasts for hours, an unusual twist of fate occurs. On rare occasions, the Burmese python is able to intimidate the alligator into a retreat.
Jesus was always into shocking his audience, right? And it's shocking that he used this imagery, but this was good news for them. And this is good news for some people in this room. Because there's probably some people, and I would even say many people in this room, where you're facing some alligators. And the alligator and the enemy, listen, the Bible even tells us that the enemy, our enemy, is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus is telling them, listen, I'm going to give you some tools. I'm going to give you some tools that's just like this video. You're going to go out into the real world, and all the odds are going to be stacked against you. Your enemy has distinct advantages over you in almost every single category. And Jesus said, except for one, it's shrewdness. Or in some other translations, it says wisdom. And Jesus was saying to them, listen, you're going to go out there into a hostile environment. You're going to be in and over your heads. I'm going to give you shrewdness. I'm going to give you wisdom. And this is good news. But you know, it's not just that he's going to give us shrewdness, but verse 19 to 20, Jesus tells them and tells us how he's going to give them shrewdness. And really, that's really the power of the message that Jesus was preaching to them here. So look at verses 19 and 20. How Jesus was going to give them this shrewdness, this wisdom. Can we read this out loud together again? It says, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So he was going to give them wisdom, shrewdness. He was going to give them what to say and how to say it. But listen, verse 20, Jesus took it a step further. Right? It would have been really great news. It's good news for you. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you what to say and how to say it. But Jesus took it a step further, and he says to us, actually, also, when you go out into the real world, Holy Spirit's going to take over. Holy Spirit's going to take over, and you're going to have to stand before local councils, governors or kings. You're going to be flogged in the synagogues, really hostile environment. I'm going to give you the wisdom, what to say and how to say it, but I'm also going to empower you with the Holy Spirit, and it's going to actually be the Holy Spirit takes over, and it's going to be the Holy Spirit that speaks through you. This is the good news. This is the good news that the disciples are receiving. This is the good news that we are receiving. Would you agree that in this video that the snake needed more than wisdom? I mean, even the narrator was saying that this it's next to impossible that the snake was going to win, right? The snake was given wisdom. It said he intimidated the alligator, the narrator said. Would you agree that he needed more than that? He needed a miracle. The snake needed a miracle. And listen, when we're going out into the real world and the situations that we have been facing or that we will face, We need miracle. We need divine intervention. We need verse 20. We need the Holy Spirit to come upon us and so fill us and empower us that it's going to be the Holy Spirit that takes over, and it's going to be the Holy Spirit that's speaking through us. That's what we need. And Jesus was saying that in this last classroom setting. Listen, that's what you need. I taught you a lot of things. I'm about to send you in the real world. Listen, what you need is you need the Holy Spirit. And you need the Holy Spirit to come upon you in such a way to fill you, saturate you, overwhelm you, whatever you call it. Some of us call it baptism of the Holy Spirit, which would be the initial time that we get filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit, saturated, overwhelmed, consumed by the Holy Spirit to come upon you, because you're about to go out into the real world and you will be eaten alive by alligators if you're not consumed and overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus was saying to his disciples. This is what Jesus is saying to us. If we are to be people that experience the kingdom together, if we're to be able to go out into the real world and help other people experience the kingdom, listen, the alligators are waiting for us. And if you are not empowered by the Holy Spirit and asking the Holy Spirit to fill you every single day, you will certainly, I don't mean to be negative, but I just need to preach you the word of God, you will be eaten by alligators. And we need God to come and fill us up, Holy Spirit, in order that we begin to live for him and help other people experience the kingdom of God. You may say now, because some of us in this room, we say, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, at certain points, you went a retreat, whatever the situation is. I want to point to you to one more scripture. This might be a good scripture for you to underline in your Bibles. Acts 13, verse 52. This was Jesus, this was God, again, speaking to his disciples, this same group of people, and he said this to them. Acts 13, verse 52. It says, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Acts is called Acts because it's Acts of the Apostles. They got this last classroom teaching, they went out into the real world, and they began to do the Acts. They began to do the stuff of the kingdom of God. And they needed to be continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. How about us? We need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I feel like this is a really timely word for us, a really timely word for our church. You know what? God gave me the vision. Not necessarily me, I would say the church, Pastor Kwan, really, ultimately, Pastor Kwan, the vision of revival in Walnut through our church in complete humility many, many, many years ago, for me, 16 and a half years ago. This past 1 year, I have just in talking to you guys, just more and more of us are latching into that. And you can sense some God doing something different in our church and in this city. And when we begin to latch onto the vision of revival, passion, pursuit of God, and massive salvations in our church, our city, and our world, do you think the enemy is happy about that? Don't you think that the enemy is going to send some alligators our way when we go out into the real world? Don't you think the enemy is going to come and clamp down us with 2,000 pounds per square inch to steal, kill, and destroy? That's what the Bible says. If you want to follow Jesus, if you are following Jesus, know that God's word says that you have an enemy that's coming after you to steal, to kill, destroy, to clamp down on you, to take the life out of you when you go into the real world. Jesus was preparing his disciples for this. Jesus needs to prepare us for this, for us not to be naive about going into the real world. Can I put it like this? On just wisdom. It was wisdom. In verse 19, he says he was going to tell them what, give them what to say and how to say it. But he took it way above that. In verse 20, he said, because you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit is speaking through you. Listen, we have an enemy. A couple of weeks ago, can you believe it? We had another flood in our building. Another flood. I can't even keep count of the floods at this point, really. It's just crazy. We had another flood. In an ironic way, our cell group, Ocean Deep, was the one that caught the flood and contained it and took care of it. Ocean Deep did a great job. I was so thankful. When I received the phone call that there was another flood, I just couldn't believe it. But you know what? I need to believe it because, listen, when we're preaching revival, And we're preaching that Holy Spirit's going to come in such a way that it's going to consume this church, and it's going to begin to consume this community, and it's going to begin to touch the world. The enemy is not happy, and he's going to send those things. He's going to send those things our way. Listen, I don't have the shrewdness or the wisdom to navigate all these different floods, and neither do you. You don't have the wisdom to navigate those situations in your life of how the enemy wants to come, steal, kill, and destroy, come and clamp down on your life with 2,000 pounds per square inch. You don't have the wisdom for it. And that's why Jesus was telling them, and Jesus is telling us, that's why we need to ask for the Holy Spirit to so consume us, fill us, overwhelm us, saturate us, baptize us. Baptize means immerse, submerge. That's why when you get baptized, you go all the way under. And Jesus is saying, you need to get baptized with the Holy Spirit. You need it all. You need to go all the way under to be soaking wet with the Holy Spirit in order to go out into the real world. You know, I'll end with just one more image that I think is the heart of the Father. You know, sometimes my kids, they ask me for bad food, unhealthy food, junk food, French fries, McDonald's, ice cream, whatever the case may be. And I have to, you know, just be real careful about that. You know, like, you know, not yet, later, you know. But sometimes they ask me for good, healthy food. I mean, Silas, my oldest son, he loves broccoli. So sometimes he asks me for broccoli. Listen, I'm on that right away. I'll give him healthy food as much as he needs or as much as he asks for. And that's the heart of the Father. See, the heart of the Father is, listen, God is willing to give you the Holy Spirit. God is willing this morning to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, get you soaking wet in the Holy Spirit, and then send you off out of church into the real world. But the question is, are we asking? Are we wanting it? Are we wanting to come up here and get baptized in the Holy Spirit and then sent out? Because I say it often, God's a gentleman. He's not going to come out into the crowd and just you up here and just and put you under. He's waiting. That's the heart of the Father, right? When I try to force my kids to eat, it doesn't work. That's what the Father says to us. He can't force us to eat. Is he willing? Yes. There's so many times right in scriptures that Jesus answered them, said, they would ask you, are you willing? Jesus said, I'm willing. He's willing. Are we asking and are we wanting? We're about to go out into the real world in just a little bit. And the Father wants to do verse 20 and empower us with the Holy Spirit, that it would even be the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father speaking through us. Let's pray. I'll ask the worship team if you can come up this time, prayer team if you can come up at this time too. And there, you know, this is a part of the service that I say, what's Holy Spirit speaking to you? Because there's so many things we need to get baptized with the Holy Spirit and filled and sent out. There's so many situations in our lives where we need that. I specifically felt that we needed to pray for some ministry situations. Some of us are evangelizing, serving in ministries at church, outside ministries, whatever the case may be. And we're like, I need shrewdness. I need wisdom. No, actually, I need to get overwhelmed by the Spirit and let the Spirit take over and even have the Spirit speaking through me. Are you saying yes to that? Just all eyes closed and heads bowed. Put your hand all the way up and just keep it up. If that's you. Just all the way up. Keep it up. Say yes to God. Say yes to the Father. Because he says, are you wanting it? Come on forward. If you raise your hand, come on forward. He's ready to do it. Father is always willing. If you didn't raise your hand, you can come forward too. Your hands out and just receive. I'm telling you, the Father is willing. The Father is willing. Father, we ask for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are willing and that you are baptizing us in the Holy Spirit right now. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Fill us to overflow. Just like this passage, we are your disciples. And Father, you know those situations that we're facing. And the enemy wants to clamp down on us. But Jesus, we say yes to you. And we say yes to the ways that you do things. We say yes to you, bringing your wisdom, bringing your shrewdness, and yes, bringing your Spirit, the Spirit of the Father, to speak through us. We say yes. We say yes. We say yes, your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just keep receiving. Just keep receiving. I feel like it's like a pitcher of water being poured out. Let him pour it all out. Let him pour it all out. Let him put you all the way under. Let him put you all the way under. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Surrender to God. Surrender to Jesus. If he's bringing up some things that you need to confess and the enemy wants to accuse you, confess those to the Lord. Be cleansed, be purified, and be filled. For those that are, rest of us that are sitting, I just want to include you in. I want to include you in. You can continue to feel free to come forward, but I just encourage you to keep, for you to say yes to Holy Spirit too. Let him put you all the way under. We need to get consumed by the Holy Spirit. Prayer team, you can just start moving around and just praying for people. Just bless what God's doing. We need Holy Spirit ultimately. We're just human beings that are just coming agreeing with what Holy Spirit wants to do. So Holy Spirit, just do what only you can do. Bring empowerment. Bring fresh filling. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand together. We're going to worship the two songs as we close out.